think you also had the Super Bowl experience, Olympics, and Triple Crown of Racing. Is that right?
Yes. During my years at ABC, we broadcast some of the top sporting events in the world. And I'll just start with the Super Bowl. It was the Washington Redskins against John Elway and the Denver Broncos. And the Denver Broncos were favored, and primarily because of John Elway and his incredible talent. But the quarterback for the Washington Redskins that year was Doug Williams, who many in Tulsa will remember playing for the Oklahoma Outlaws. And the Washington Redskins won that year, and Doug Williams became the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl. So that had special meaning for me because I had met Doug during his years here in Tulsa. One of the things I will remember most about the Super Bowl was this incredible pregame show. And it wasn't as long. I think now they do pregame shows that last all day long before the game. Ours was either an hour or 2 hours, but we featured reporters from around the world because we utilized some of the ABC News incredible news talent reporters. I broadcast on the pregame from an aircraft carrier that was in the harbor in San Diego, and I talked about how the sailors were getting ready to watch the Super Bowl and they were all out swabbing the deck. Then we had somebody across the border in Mexico. We were in San Diego. We had somebody across the border in Mexico. We had a news reporter in the Middle East talking about what the soldiers there were doing to prepare to watch the Super Bowl. And we had a camera in China outside a bus or subway station. But anyway, Keith Jackson and I produced most of the pregame show and wrote some of the pieces. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and it was great to see how the entire world was preparing for the Super Bowl.
Right. I would imagine you scored an interview with Doug Williams. Did you?
No, because we did not have time. And so much in television depends on time. No, there was limited time after the game. I don't think that we did any post-game interviews.
Okay, but you brought up the name Keith Jackson that we all loved. What was he like to be around?
He was really incredible. I loved Keith and had the good fortune to work with him during college football. I did several games with him, and he was down to earth. He was just such a solid person. I really loved working with him, and he, of course, so knowledgeable and so well-respected.
Yes.
In the industry. I mean, everybody knew and loved and respected Keith Jackson.
I can hear him in my head.
And yes.
The better part of valor says, don't try to imitate him, John, because you can't. But we all loved his performance.
And when I say we helped produce the pregame show, we weren't listed as the producers, but I know we worked on it with the producers. Mm-hmm. Because Keith was just so talented. I mean, he could do anything. He could write. He had the football knowledge and, of course, the contacts that he had made throughout the years.
You know, we forget about that some of them are writers. Just because they can perform may not necessarily be a writer, and we forget that. And so he was a writer.
He was a writer. In fact, I think everybody I worked with at ABC Sports focused a lot of their time on making sure that what they had to talk about was written well.
Okay, right. Super Bowl, unless there's anything else, Olympics?
The Olympics. The Olympics followed almost immediately that year after the Super Bowl. In the Olympics, it was the Winter Olympics in Calgary.
What year again? What year?
This was 1988, the Winter Olympics, Calgary. I had been to Calgary several times before that to do preview pieces. I hosted Wide World of Sports from Calgary the year before, saying, you know, it's 1 year to the day when we will be in Calgary for the Olympics. And I remember those early visits because I got to utilize some of the, I guess, skills and talents that I had utilized at Channel 8 as I had said, I like to participate in some of the sports that I was talking about. So I remember in that pre-Olympic visit, I skied down the downhill mountain very precariously and only turned around, and I never fail, but I did do a 180 and completely turned around one time. And it was on one of the easier slopes for sure. And then at the end of that preview show, I rode in on a horse and talked about the Western heritage of Calgary. But it was so the Olympics 1988, it was so cold in Calgary. I wasn't used to that kind of cold. And I was there a month We were all there a month. The Olympics usually last a couple of weeks, but for all of our preparations and pre-interviews, we had to be there 2 weeks early. I covered skiing, I covered speed skating, I did some of the color pieces, I did quite a few interviews, and I remember one interview stands out all these years later the most, because I opened the show that night with this interview. It was a really emotional interview for everybody involved. It was with Dan Jansen, and he was favored that night to win a gold medal in speed skating. He was from either Wisconsin or Minnesota, where most of the American speed skaters were from. But his sister had died that day from cancer, and he was really close to her. But he wanted to go ahead and skate in her honor. And so we opened the show that night. Jim McKay was our Olympic host, and he, you know, introduced me and said, Becky has a very special interview tonight. He was so emotional, as was, you know, in his entire family, most of his family, I would say. Of course, some had stayed behind with his sister, but most of his family was there. So I did the interview, and then sadly, he fell.
Yeah.
During the competition and did not win a gold medal that night. So that memory will always stand out the most. And, you know, as I look back on the Olympics and the Super Bowl and some of those larger events that I covered today, I didn't realize at the time, I don't think, the significance that they had in the world or in my career, because you're so focused on what you're doing at any given moment, as you have to be. But today, I look back and I'm proud that I was able to be a part of those events.
Oh, yes. But as soon as you said Dan Jansen, and I haven't heard that name in a long, long time, I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's how much it was impressed on all of America.
Yes.
That we remember that story. I'm glad you remembered him. That was great.
I need to Google him and see how he's doing today. I hope well.
Yeah.
He was such a nice young man.
So now you brought up Jim McKay.
Yes.
About him, was anything different, unusual about him, or he was so good too?
He was so good, and I didn't work with him that much. I did work with him on the Triple Crown of horse racing, because he was a horse racing fan, and he also owned, I think, some horse races, or was a partial owner of some horses that raced. Frank Gifford and I replaced him on Wide World of Sports, so he was pretty much retired, but he did come back for the Olympics and for the horse racing. But again, such an incredible talent, such a nice man, very low-key, and very focused on what he was doing, obviously.
And he would call those races. He was so good at it. He actually granted an interview for me at KRMG.
Okay.
So we could talk about an upcoming race, and we had him do a little bit of a call and so forth. So that's how a nice guy he was. Could have ignored Tulsa, Oklahoma, but he didn't.
Oh, no, that was not his personality. He was, you know, seemed to love everyone he met. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the reasons that he was so popular on the air.
We've been talking about you being the only female pioneer. So through all this reporting, Super Bowl and Olympics so far, are you basically the only female?
At the Super Bowl, I'm the only female. At the Olympics, I was the only female journalist. Now, we did also have like Peggy Fleming for figure skating. Donna DeVerona, who worked on all the Olympics, who was an Olympic swimmer, even though this was the Winter Olympics, she was there to do some interviews. She did some interviews. I'm sure there were others in some of the specific sports.
But
I do specifically remember that Peggy was there, Donna DeVerona was there.
But they were experts in their field.
Experts in their field,
but
yes.
You pointed out you were the only female journalist.
Journalist, right.
So you're still a pioneer woman, even under there. So then under the Triple Crown of Racing, what was your experience?
That same year, so now we go to May. Yes, that was my first Triple Crown experience. Primarily, I worked on the pregame or the pre-race programming for that. Well, we started at the Kentucky Derby and then went on to the Preakness, which is, by the way, I'll mention the Preakness. It was the only event where I had to have two bodyguards. I remember that.
Why was that?
I don't know if it was I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think just maybe the area where it was, it was maybe a higher crime area. Now I really can't remember, but I'm sure that was probably it. And then the Belmont, which is one of my favorite races, was the final race in New York. I did do a piece for the Kentucky Derby. I'll never forget this. It was a great piece on the long shot, who ended up coming in second or third. So that was nice to have that happen.
Did we have a Triple Crown winner that year, 1988?
No, I don't think, no. No, I would have remembered if we did.
Right.
But I remember being with Jim McKay on one of those telecasts, and I can't remember which one it was, but I think I still have the video of myself with Jim McKay. I will say one other thing about the Olympics. I was down at the bottom of the ski slope one day, the downhill slope, and getting ready to interview skiers when they came down. And I heard, and it's a very chaotic scene down there. There are cowbells ringing, there are people and fans screaming in all different languages. And there's a lot of noise and a lot of chaos down there. But all of a sudden, I could hear this voice in the crowd say, "Becky, Becky from Tulsa, Becky from Tulsa." And I thought, who in the world is that? And so I looked around, and in the crowd, I could see this friend of mine, Brad Petty. And so I went over to talk to him. And the first thing he said to me was, "I'm so glad you were here. You are here to represent Tulsa," which I had never thought of it that way. But after that, that made me proud that I was there to represent Tulsa. And as far as I know, I'm the only broadcaster from Tulsa that has ever been a part of the Olympics. And Brad died this past year, and I was asked to speak at his funeral, and I told that story. So it still means a lot to me today.
Yes. And then, of course, his brother, Scott. And then we think of Petty's Fine Foods in Utica Square, which is no longer there. And I have interviewed Scott Petty about the store and that experience.
Great family.